Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 299. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, that means there was no apocalypse. Congratulations! Now you have to deal with the Christmas. Or any holiday stuff. Is that a negative attitude? No, I'm kidding. But there was a lot of pressure during the holidays. But it's fun pressure. It's worth it. Oh, fingers crossed for the apocalypse! I am going to be performing a ton in the post-apocalyptic world. I'll be performing in Bloomington, Indiana, and then Tacoma, and a bunch of other cities. SF Sketchfest, which is not a city, but it's in a city and has a city in the name. If you go to nerdist.com/calendar, you can get information on those shows. Please come to them. You can make it my Christmas and my birthday present for just the next 30 years. I would like to thank Samsung for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. The Galaxy Note 2 is bigger than a phone, but it's smaller than a tablet. It's sort of a hybrid. But I think the important feature is the sharing capability. There's an S-Beam feature, which means you can tap the back of another S-Beam-enabled device, and you can share large files in seconds. In seconds. It's like you're transferring something with a kiss. Your devices are making out, and the result is a quick file transfer. There's an S Pen, which basically makes a device like a virtual notepad. But then it can be used for easy outlining, cropping of items on screen, previews of emails, links without having to open them, just by hovering the pen above them, and it'll also find and match images to written keywords. So, again, big screen, 5.5 inches, perfectly shaped for 16:9 aspect ratio for widescreen movies or television shows. We do those in widescreen, too. So that's a Galaxy Note 2 from Samsung. Thank you so much to those guys for being a sponsor of this podcast, which is Tom Kenny. And we had Tom on early in the run of the podcast, one of our live shows at Largo with Fred Willard. Tom was a musical guest and came out with Eddie Paley and played some SpongeBob songs. And there is a SpongeBob Christmas album out right now. Not too late for Christmas, I'm assuming, if you have prompt podcast listening habits. But even if it's not Christmas anymore, you should get the album. We're going to play one of the songs at the end of it from the album. So stick around for that. And Tom is such a freaking cool guy. You know, he was a comic and does a crap ton of voiceover. And, of course, is a SpongeBob. And I love talking to him. He's super smart. He has such cool kids. And his wife, also super cool, Jill Talley, does a ton of voiceover work. So just really, just a keen family that you want to kind of hang out with and talk to. Interesting folk, that Clan Kenny. So here they are, the Nerdist Podcast number 299, with Tom Kenny.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm Kenny, back on the podcast after like a year and a half absence, I think.
We were trying to figure out when that show was.
It was in the early days.
The Fred Willard, Tom Kenny show?
Yes, at Largo.
Was it Largo? Was it the first year?
It was within the first year. Within the first few months, like 4 or 5 months.
No, it would have been like July or August. It was right around Comic-Con time, I remember. So
it was?
Yeah, you're right. It was within the first like 5 or 6 months of the show.
Yeah.
Well, you have way more memory cells than I do. I just remember that I did it and it was at Largo and I was proud of that.
Yeah. And you sang SpongeBob songs. You sang SpongeBob songs.
I do remember that.
With
yes.
The Andy Paley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all coming back to me now. No, I remember it very well. Fred was pitching. I remember Fred was talking about his movie trivia book.
His movie trivia book. Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. Between us, we almost have a brain going.
And then you were supposed to be on the podcast. We were going to record you. Well, there was a mishap where you were booked on the podcast, but we didn't know.
Yeah,
that
some
you
wires were crossed. Podcast, some I'm wire cooling my heels in the lobby. You're shooting a G4 attack of the show.
Some of the last
you don't have
of the
your
shows.
Phone on. I just thought you guys were running behind. The security guard was starting to look suspicious at me. Like, what's this guy doing? This guy's up to no good. Hold on.
The cough button.
I've always wanted to use the cough
button.
It
sort of worked.
I use it for burps, mainly. You do. I get gassy.
Oh. See, you got to cross out the word cough on the button and put fart.
Yeah.
If someone ever feels like, if you ever feel like you're in a situation where someone is suspicious of you, do you just start doing SpongeBob and then they're like, oh.
That would even make them more suspicious. Wow. Now he's a suspicious guy doing crappy cartoon impressions.
Yeah.
No, you don't understand. I made that voice up.
I'm the real guy. Stop it.
Yeah. Does that, but so you've never had to use that to get out of a scrape?
I've never used it to get out of a scrape. I once I got pulled over for a ticket and I happened to have some 8x10s that I was bringing somewhere on the front seat and the guy saw them and it's gotten me out of one ticket.
Wow.
And it's the only time it's ever.
Did you have to give one of them
been
up?
Useful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he gave me his address, gave me his kids' names and said, if these don't come to my house, I know where you live.
Oh, and then it turns into Cape Fear.
Kind of vaguely. It was very Cape Fear-y. And he had the cliche, like, mirrored sunglasses on.
Yep.
So you could see yourself being scared.
Yeah. Yes. I could get a nice view of myself crapping my pants. It was awesome. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, cops are scary when you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
When you've done something a little bit wrong, like, cruise through a stop sign, like, or whatever I did, then it's absolutely...
I don't know why.
I get so scared when I see cops around. I just I freeze up.
Why when I'm in traffic and then a cop pulls up alongside me, why do I turn my radio down?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have windows that are, I think they're tinted too much.
If this guy finds out I listen to Huey Lewis, the jig is up. Maybe you're trying to find some Eddie Money. He used to be a cop. Yeah. You know, this will buy me some brownie points.
Sir, I'm going to give you 2 tickets. Yeah. What? To paradise.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you can get a ticket for music being too loud. If you can hear it from like 2 car lengths away,
But I don't listen to music super loud, so it's like, but it doesn't matter what the volume is, I always turn it down a little bit more.
Yeah.
What if somebody's listening to this podcast and it can be heard like 2 car lengths away?
Then fucking,
hey, fuck you, cop.
Just like,
bass. Sorry, I just want to make it rumble.
Bass. Just Chris Hardwick's voice just vibrating off of like every vehicle in the.
Yeah,
that would be irritating.
What? Wait, what?
What?
Wee, squeeze. So when does the podcast start? Like, do you guys.
Probably like in a couple days.
When do we go on?
I don't know, you know. Man, I just like to, we just sort of feel it out, man, and then we just let it happen.
This is awesome, you know, because I've been doing like endless morning zoo radio tours, so this just feels like a tonic.
Well,
it's just so beautifully relaxing.
We can dim the lights even.
We can
dim
the lights.
I know, you put like some nice atmosphere in here.
Well, Nick's working, so I don't want to.
I know, I've done a million, you know, just going back on the road and doing stand-up again, I've been doing... Back in the belly of the beast.
The morning show beast.
Doing morning shows, morning news shows, morning radio shows.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're just sort of unceremoniously dropped into a pre-existing social dynamic that you're not aware of. And
really, you're just proud. You're just something to kill a few minutes.
That's it.
Until they get to the weather guy or whatever the rodeo that's in town or, you know, the person who's broadcasting from the, you know, Toys for Tots.
A prop.
Yeah.
You're a prop. So
remember that one time we were doing a pilot for E, and like there was like the technical producer guy who would be like, it's like, all right, we coming from commercial, we have this piece of information, you have a joke, you go into this, and it was like for him, like the jokes, which were the things we were trying to concentrate on, was like the least amount of his problems.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think it was make a joke. I think it was like blah blah blah, be funny, something something.
Yeah. What? Sketchy biddle onto the next thing.
Sketchy bit, and then dash of comedy.
We've been doing some of that for this Christmas thing, you know, like we just did like a TV station here in town, like one of these not quite a news show, but they kind of talk about the news and they're like, hey, and we have a funny band in the studio that's going to do some SpongeBob music.
It's couch news. It's like we're doing the news, but we're on a couch.
Yes. Yes. The publicist calls it Dodo News. He calls it. Yeah, you're doing like what's the format of the show? It's Dodo News.
Right.
Yeah.
They have coffee
mugs. It's not bad. It's Dodo News.
Do you mean it's news all about the extinct dodo?
Exactly.
And what it would take to bring back this long extinct bird?
Exactly. It's doo-doo. Dodo doo-doo.
What? Dada news is very conceptual.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
The Dada news.
Hard to know where it's coming from.
You know what the theme song of that news show is? Da, da, da.
Ooh.
Do, 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 do. Da, da, da. Oh, I hate this news show. I don't know. There's no structure.
Well, this particular week was obviously pretty grim.
Yes.
And they're, you know, so they're, and they're covering all that topical stuff. And you know, it was like, you know, murder, 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 mental illness, SpongeBob in the High Seas. You know, that was like, that was like the rundown of the content of the show. So that's always a little weird, you know.
Lots of people, like, lots of death, lots of tragedy, lots of sickness, lots of poverty, lots of illness. This holiday season wouldn't be complete without a visit from old SpongeBob.
These guys, it is so fun, and we're having so much fun, and we make the kids happy.
A second ago, we weren't having fun.
Yeah. The switchover is great. And they had the walk-around, you know, SpongeBob theme park character was on the set, too, lending another level of wackiness to this murder, funny cartoon band thing. So it's kind of weird to know, because you go... It's kind of the elephant in the room. Should I acknowledge that? Or is that just a no? Or that make it even weirder?
I think.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But part of you, especially the ex-comedian part of me, wants to be totally honest and allude to it.
Well, of course.
This is weird. You guys aren't talking about it, but it's really weird to go from what you just gave.
So you want me to sing this song?
Yeah.
After all of that
horribly. Sing the song. What's the point? Two, three, four.
It's the worst day ever.
Santa won't let you down.
You guys did one Christmas track like 2 years ago?
Yeah, we did Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas, which started out as just kind of being a... something that we made for some of the suits and some of the people that work on the show. Aunt Paley and I just made it, hoping it would maybe be a calling card for a special or an album or something, you know, kind of build it and they will come, hoping. And that's always worked okay for us in the past. And, yeah, it took the Swallows a while to come back to Capistrano, but we, you know, we made the song, and then eventually they asked us to do the, like, a whole record of SpongeBob holiday songs. And then the song Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas – from 2009 became the basis of the story of the current SpongeBob animated special, which is, you know, airing now, you know, now through Christmas, I guess. It's on the 23rd a bunch of times. It's on the 24th a bunch of times on Nickelodeon. They're kind of just stripping it. It's pretty cool. It's all stop motion.
Oh, wow.
You know, old school.
That's got to look gorgeous.
Yeah, Rankin Bass looking. It's
nice.
Really
Who,
cool.
What company did, was it Dino's company or?
No, it's Screen Novelties right here in Los Angeles who are amazing. And I did, you didn't have any sparkling?
Yeah. Sorry. Sparkling coffee?
Oh, hey, Harry Shearer just walked in the room. No, kidding.
Kyle just brought
they're just
Tom Kinney.
He complained about his water.
A coffee.
And I'm telling tales
Tom,
out of his
Tom, I didn't know what he's talking about.
Not to me.
I thought you could be more honest on podcasts. I don't have to keep up
we'll
that KT.
We'll be right back with the funny voices of Tom Kinney.
You know, why are you throwing me out, guys?
One of the best parts of the holiday season is what to do with the family pooch.
He's not listening when he's not on it, I tell you.
I tell you,
folks. I don't have to be that. I don't have to keep up that local news phoniness, right?
No. Tom, it's really great.
I felt bad asking for coffee, and then we just started talking about guests, and you know, sometimes some are more demanding than others.
Yeah,
and
I brought Harry Shearer.
You didn't say it with any malice.
No, because I'm a sucker for sparkling water. Me and Dee got a Soda Stream, and it's changed my life. I drink more water now than I ever have in my life.
Wow, Is that the one where you make your own? Soda pop?
You put normal water into a bottle and you hook it up and screw it on the thing. You push down the button a few times and it's soda water.
With space
this
age
just turned
technology.
Into a commercial. You whores! I hear Ed Schultz talk about this every day.
Tom's all shaken up right now, just like your soda jerk taken home. A soda out of any liquid.
You know, you don't need bottles. You just make your own soda. It tastes just like the stuff that you would buy in a store.
What do you got in the garage? A can of old oil. You know what that's missing? Bubbles. Let's give it some bubbles with the soda jerker.
Carbonation is like frying. You know, just anything tastes good when you apply that
that's very true.
Process to it. Bubbles and grease.
Yep.
Make everything
That was
good.
My 70s burlesque show.
But we would with an ape, and they would sing grease
songs
together.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't get to it fast enough.
I'm sorry, did I?
No, it was good. Cheese bubbles.
That's what Bubbles the Chimp is doing now since Michael Jackson died.
Yeah, exactly. They used to do it together too.
Yeah, but now he's just going on the road and doing his one man chimp grease show.
Yeah, with Elvis's chimp scatter.
Yeah.
Scatter the bubbles.
The two biggest pop star owned chimps of all time.
Yeah. Hmm. Grease bananas, go grease bananas. But then they put in like a chimp theme to it. So they're hopelessly devoted to chimps. Da-na-na-na-na. We'll be together like chimpy, 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 bonobo.
Oh, bonobo.
So guys, Chris Hardwick is going back on the road, and this is just a sample.
fuck yourself, Tom Kenny. That is not any kind of sample of what you're going
to
see.
Of the song parodies to be had, Chris goes out there with his guitar and does so many... dead-on spoofs of some of today's
name an animal and a musical, and he'll riff on that for hours.
I don't care. Give me a food and a primate, and we will
say, "I need a food. I need a food and a primate."
This song, chimpanzee. Called, you've already said chimpanzee.
The song's called Coconut Lemurs.
It's not a primate, is it?
Pirate's booty and howler monkey.
Ow! What's in the chest? Ow! What's in the chest?
Well, you know, you're a little younger than me, but you know, I started pretty young, and it was, and you know, the guitar guys were always the acts that killed.
Oh,
the
yeah,
guy that went out there with a guitar at the end of the show,
and then shamed in the 90s. Guitar comedy shamed in the 90s.
I guess so, yeah. Well, shamed in the hipster rooms, but still ruling in the hinterlands.
Coming back, though. Well, I love a good guitar comic. Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson just performed a Meltdown last night.
Oh, yeah, he's different, though. He's not a cartoon. Yeah, he's not a guitar comic, for sure.
But he has a guitar, and he does jokes.
Yeah, but he's not like the song parody guy.
Oh, no.
He writes you know original songs.
But Henry Phillips, he's a guitar guy. What's the other guy?
He's not the guy. I'm talking about, you know, guys at the Midnight Show just destroying after you've bombed trying to do stuff that's kind of personal and maybe doesn't, you know, maybe is a little different from other people. And then you got to follow the guy who just destroyed the room. Going, it hurts when I pee now.
Yeah.
It hurts when I pee now.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Like that kind of stuff.
Exactly. There's a bathroom on the right. Yeah. Hey. But
it's, you know, in their mind, they're like, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. People are laughing. What's the problem? Yeah.
I'm bringing joy to people's lives.
The fact that I'm still bitter 30 years later probably says a lot. Shouldn't I have let it go by now?
Things are going pretty well.
Hold strong. Those are convictions.
God, you're doing okay, Kenny. Let it go.
Nah.
Still bumming out about some guy in a basement comedy club in Boston in 1983.
Those acid roots run very deep.
I will never forgive them. Never.
Here, I was building up enough money to come back and smite every guitar.
What were his last words? Just like, fucking guitar comics.
The guitar comics were shamed in the 90s, you think?
Well, I think a little bit, because when Mike Furman and I were doing we did this comedy duo, Hard and Firm. And
yes, I know
that. When we were going back out, when we were sort of going on the road in like 03, 04.
Yeah.
You know, there were... clubs and people are like, oh, fuck, guitar comedy. We're like, it's not. I mean,
but again, you guys were a different thing, as is Tom Wilson.
And we didn't play well on the road. I mean, like, we did not connect well with people on the road.
Oh,
like,
really?
Your standard club audience didn't like, because if.
They like songs about pie?
They did not like songs about pie, the numerical value of pie. They did not like songs about patriotic dinosaurs. our songs were all sort of sketches in the sense that there was a certain point of view, and if you understood what we were making fun of, then it worked. But if you didn't, like, it was not a high joke per minute.
And Tom Wilson's, speaking of Dadaist, or, you know, are very kind of elliptical manifestos about things.
I laugh so hard every time I hear him do, why does a dog eat a dead bird but will never touch a grape? Or whatever. Yeah. Like, I just
He has haiku songs. Where it's like, haiku songs are perfect because you get a melody in there, you get your point across, and then you're out. And
he's been on SpongeBob a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, he did Barnyard, too. Tom did Barnyard.
He's really good.
He played a really angry duck called Krauser Krebs, who was a bully. He was a tiny little duck
SpongeBob's
bully.
SpongeBob's schoolroom nemesis, Flats the Flounder.
Awesome. SpongeBob, are you still making new episodes of SpongeBob?
Did it today.
God damn it.
Isn't that weird?
It's unbelievable.
You're on now two of the biggest cartoons. Because that and Adventure Time.
Adventure Time's blowing up.
Adventure Time is one of my favorite shows.
It is blown up.
It is one of my favorite shows, like, of any show. It's cool. I watch it.
Not just from the animation ghetto.
I laugh. I tune in to it. I laugh like it's like cool.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. And yeah, it's exciting to watch something blow up like that. Where,
again.
Where you just see, yeah, where you just see like, wow, this is, you just see it widening out. You see yeah. the appeal of it widening out and you see like this intense, small fan base, but very passionate about it. You just see that getting bigger and yeah. bigger and including more and more and more people. And that's kind of what happened with SpongeBob at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, there's shows that like treat their audiences with respect with like subtle callbacks that make you just go, I know that
yeah.
because I am a dedicated watcher.
Yeah. They're kind of similar. The creators are kind of similar personality types of those two shows in a way. You know? I mean, they're a generation apart, mm-hmm. you know,
but they're both CalArts guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, with Pendleton Ward is the creator of Adventure Time is definitely of the 8-bit video game
sure.
generation where he really, you know, that's the thing that like impacted his whole life at a tender age. And
yeah.
there's so much of that in the show.
But it's oh, just definitely. That, yeah, we're the same age, I think.
Yeah.
And it's that having, you know, having central characters that are sort of like that. That Candide kind of a like
yes.
everything is greatest yeah. ever thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but at the same, but like, but
Voltaire-esque.
With, yeah, but I like it's just because like there's lines where it's just like, well, that's dumb. Like they just yeah. like they're cynical on top of being like excited about stuff.
But you know, it's funny. Like you know, I try to think like, you know, why does one show pop and another doesn't? You know, and sometimes shows that you think. Wow, this is pretty good. I like this. This is funny. Like, wind up sinking without a trace, and then shows that you go, wow, this is, I really don't see what this show has going for it. You know, wind up running for, you know, 150 episodes.
Yeah.
You really
what shows are
know.
Those, Tom?
Oh, no, I've done shows before where I was like, home run, and then what happened?
Yeah, I'm happy for, you know, I'm happy anytime anybody pays me to make noises into a microphone. You go, wow, this is another day where I talked into a microphone and didn't have to say, may I help you?
Yeah.
You know, this is awesome. I still feel like that.
Yeah. It's funny too, because as a stand-up comic and now like you're a professional, like, you know, huge voiceover actor.
Yeah.
Like it's still you in a microphone.
Yeah, it is.
SpongeBob would technically say, may I help you if he were serving Krabby
Patty.
If
he was
Patty.
At the Krusty Krab.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I should say, you just don't have to be doing some, I'm just glad I'm not working some day job that I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing even after decades of not doing it. I still feel like the jig could all be up, you know.
Yeah, it's a good gig. It's.
But I talk just about voiceover in general, not SpongeBob in particular.
Voiceover work is so great. It's fun. It's usually fun and it's easy and it's close to home and
yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how you look. You don't have
no comedy clubs, no comedy condos.
No, you don't have to sell hot wings.
Yeah. You don't have to sell hot wings.
You're still performing.
You're home for dinner. You don't have to leave your kids, you know, crying in the driveway. When are you going to be back, Daddy? You know. So you know, it's great.
I'll be back in 40 weeks.
And you have fun. You get to exercise all those same muscles that you
I'll be
do.
Back just in time to miss your birthday. I'll bring you some cocktail. I'll sign some cocktail napkins for you.
I'll bring you some umbrella stirrers. Your Barbie doll can use these umbrellas.
But that's the thing with like with doing comedy. And then there's ways to find that same feeling in other venues. And
with me, it was a case of going, here's what I really like about doing stand-up. Here's the aspects of it that I'm not so crazy about. Is there another job that gives me all the things I like about doing stand-up and maybe phase out some of the aspects that I don't enjoy that much? And you know, for me anyway, voiceover was the one.
What else are you working on besides SpongeBob?
Well, let's see. Today we did SpongeBob, and we also there's a preschool show on Disney starting in the spring called Huggle Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a very
I'm listening.
Like, sounds scary.
That's for a preschool audience. Yeah, they're a bunch of monsters, but they're also very loving. They give hugs.
That sounds scary.
That's a fun show. A lot of singing.
So it teaches children to hug monsters.
It teaches children to hug monsters, and you know, which robs the monsters of their power, I guess. And let's see. I'm Dr. Octopus on Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm the Ice King on Adventure Time. I'm on Brickleberry, the Daniel Tosh produced a show on Comedy Central, and. Yeah, a couple other things.
you play the Ice King. He's like such a great character because he's so sad.
I love playing him sad. Yeah. And he started out, you know, just kind of being a typical insane burlesque kind of villain. And then they started giving him this backstory where he used to be a nice guy. And then, you know, this crowned, kind of made him crazy, kind of like Gollum's ring or whatever. And now they're going even further into this backstory with him and Marceline, the vampire girl, where he knew her when she was young, and there was this plague that was devastating the world, and he's taken this little vampire toddler under his wing, and they're making their way through this post-apocalyptic pandemic filled. It's really gone in different unexpected directions from when where I first started doing it, from where it started, and it's really fun to get those
Tom, what would it sound like if the Ice King were delivering the 6 o'clock news?
The Ice King here. Hey, that's a bear of a commute there on the 405. I would say if you have ice powers or flying powers, just bypass that shit. I don't even know what a Sig Alert is, but they're not good.
Go home.
Go home.
What's the actor's name? That's based on that character. That
what are you guys talking about?
Like so many of my animated characters, you know, the Ice King is based on a couple of unsuccessful attempts at impressions.
But those are where the best voices. Those are where the best voices come from, though. As you lock on,
hey, a shitty impression is just a shitty impression. But if I take a shitty impression and mash it up with another sucky impression.
Genius character.
Then it's a whole new different voice where they go, I've never heard anything like that before.
It's amazing.
So yeah, that's some Hans Conried in there, you know.
Yes, that guy.
From the 5,000 fingers of Dr. T or whatever. You know, there's some of him and then some various other people.
All mashed
I'm not
in.
Good at, I'm not good at impressions.
Also, his partner is a penguin, Gunter.
Quack.
Yeah.
Quack.
Oh, you do also do Gunter. Nice.
W-E-N-K. They write it in the script. W-E-N-K. Gunther Wanks. Six Wanks.
What is, how's Jill doing? Is Jill Talley working on something?
Yeah, she's doing good. She's
your wife, Jill.
And she's, you know, she's also on SpongeBob. She plays, she voices Plankton, the bad guy's married to his computer.
Oh, that's Jill.
That's Jill. Karen, the computer wife of Plankton.
And then,
who's named after Steve Hillenburg's real wife, Karen. And played by my wife, Jill. So it's like total hillbilly inbreeding.
That is very much like a cartoon key party. In a weird sort of way.
Yeah, so she's doing great. She's doing great. We, you know.
Do you guys get to perform together much?
You know, we do voiceovers together because I do Boondocks.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. And she does it a lot. And then, you know, we work on SpongeBob and stuff comes up. But we do well when we, like, in commercials, like radio commercials, if it's like a kooky couple or more often like one member of the couple is really irritated with the other half of the couple in a commercial spot for whatever, Sears or Dr. Pepper or, you know, Whirlpool or whatever, we do very well if we audition together as a kooky couple. You know, and they go, wow, those two have a good chemistry. It's like, well, they married 17 years.
They made a human.
They made together. Two of them.
Oh, you have a second? You have another one? Is that new?
No, 9 years.
Yep, pretty new.
Not that new.
Well, you know, when you think about how long humans have been on this planet, 9 years is really
it's the blink of an eye.
That much time. I know Mac.
Yeah, Mac is 15, and then his sister Nora is 9.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this. Is this a weird question? Was Nora born was the gestation period like 8 years and then Nora just came out?
Yes. It's like, you know, like some animals like hippos or whatever have a longer gestation period. And girls from the south side of Chicago are like that too.
I mean, you can see there's a fully formed human inside pushing through like a...
Yeah, like on The Prisoner when the crazy white ball like just goes over.
Exactly. Like right over and the face comes out or like... Or like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
you know,
like
she's absorbed a soul. Or like that.
That's a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 reference.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good one, buddy. My memory of Mac was meeting him at a screening of something at CineFamily. Yeah, and right. just the immense amount of old movie trivia that at that time he was only 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
still
yeah, he was about that age, yeah.
Crazy amount of like just knew all this old movie stuff.
He knew all the people on the walls, you know. It's like Theda Bara, Lon Chaney Sr., you know, Laurel and Hardy, you know. But, you know, when you got knuckleheads like us for parents, you wind up absorbing all kinds of useless.
Well, now he's 15.
The least we can do is pass the fruits of our misspent life onto him.
I hope he's pushed that all aside in favor of drugs now. He's 15.
He's pushed it all aside, and now he, he's great. Having a kid that age is fun because they're forming their own aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so he's always turning me on to stuff that there's no way a 50-year-old guy would ever hear about or be into, and he's very open to me turning him onto stuff. So it's like, okay, I'll play you this Kinks record, and then
let's talk about
good way to go.
Let's talk about 50. Is it do you feel, because our generation the generation that was not our parents, basically, when you think of a 50-year-old in our parents' time, they were a really like, where's your
girl? Oh, yeah, like, one foot in the grave.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's like, you know, you could be 38, you could be 42, you could be 50.
For me?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't.
Yeah, I think so,
you think
too.
I could be 38?
I don't think, I wouldn't.
I didn't know Greg Barrett was 49. That blew me away.
Yeah. I know. It's funny. I run into Greg from time to time when we were talking about this, and I always thought, I guess maybe, I always feel like I'm older than guys like, you know, of that ilk, because I started younger.
Yeah.
So it never occurs to me that Greg Barron, who seemed like, one of the new kids in the San Francisco scene, you know, was kind of the same age as
same
me.
Same age as you,
it's
yeah.
pretty weird.
I asked Greg Barron one time, I'm like, Greg, you look great. It was one of these, it was a Cosmo conversation. I'm like, Greg, your skin looks great. What do you do? And I wasn't really expecting a serious answer. And he was without hesitation. He was like, eye creams. Doesn't matter what it is. Just use some kind of eye cream. You gotta hydrate the orbs or whatever it was that he said.
Hydrate the orbs.
Yeah. See, but he looks great. Yeah. Greg Barrett looks great.
And I feel like using anything like that is a betrayal of my Syracuse working class roots. But then you're like, hey, you know, Bruce Springsteen gets plastic surgery and shit.
That's true. You know, but
the plastic surgery, that stuff, that is an extra line. Like, I feel like I would have to have a horrible accident to feel okay with that.
Yes.
Because it always looks
Yeah, I would
worse.
Have to have like a Hank Williams Jr. like rock climbing accident.
Yeah, then it's like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with throwing a cream on here and there, but once you start digging around and trying to kill nerve endings and deaden things with,
you talked me into it. I'm buying eye cream on the way home. And I'm just going to put it on at every red light.
You guys,
Hong Kong, shut up!
You know why I stopped you, sir?
This crazy guy who's got cream all over his eyes says he's SpongeBob. We're going to have to take him in. It's just not working.
The cucumbers are impeding
your vision.
I'm also
the ice king. Stop it. Yeah. You're not an ice.
Thing is, though,
Let me perform my resume for you. Wouldn't that be a treat?
If you stayed in Syracuse, though, you probably would look like a 50-year-old that we know as being like an old man. That's the thing. Like in like Los Angeles, like all the kind of work we do or the cities, you know, it kind of keeps you youngish.
Well, I think there's something to be said for blundering your way into an occupation that rewards arrested adolescence.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that really is, it really does keep you young. You know, we look what we make our livings doing, you know, fooling around, farting around, you know, making rude noises, figuring out how the cough button works. I was late on it.
You didn't get it that
Dang
time.
It.
This
Dang.
Is actually just my hobby. I'm a coal miner. And I'm also 22.
I was born a coal miner's daughter.
So yeah, there's something to be. There is a lot to be said for I mean, it's the most cliche like goofball actor thing in the world to say. You know, we get paid to play.
Yeah,
we play for a living. That's what we do as actors.
I mean, my parents always said get a practical job, and I was like, why?
I make my living in the world of make believe.
My parents would say that.
I'm a professional pretender.
Yeah, maybe something, maybe banking or politics, something respectable.
And then it gets really dark.
You have something respectable to fall back on.
Politics, the most respected business.
If that gets really dark, well, my father pretended. He pretended he loved me, my mom. I just do it for a living.
We all pretend.
What are you pretending about in your life?
Is that a Walter White speech?
We all pretend, Jesse.
This is SpongeBob's real voice.
That's right.
It's the best day ever.
that's me when I'm too old to do it, but they're too nice to fire me. They just keep pitching it up and pitching it up. It sounds weird. You can hear his dentures. You can hear his dentures whistle.
The kid that does Finn, his voice dropped a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremy Shada, but they
fired him.
No.
Well, they should. No.
They just keep aging the character.
Yeah, yeah.
They keep
his hair's longer now.
Is aging in real time because they like the actor so much.
He's great.
Yeah, he is great.
Yeah, he nails the sensibility.
And you know, the original pilot was his brother.
Yes, that's right.
And then, you know, he got Menudo'd.
Stabbed his brother in the back. Literally.
Was his brother fired because his voice dropped?
You know, I think such a long time went by between them doing that Adventure Time pilot episode that was on YouTube and everything, and then it finally making it to being a Cartoon Network series.
Yeah,
you know,
it took a long time.
It was literally years and years.
Yeah,
multiple years.
Yeah,
and you know, they're like, "Wow, he sounds different because maturity occurred."
Yeah,
but hey, you got this little brother. You know, sorry, Jermaine, but hey, Michael, you know,
get out of the way, Jermaine.
Scram, Marlon, screw, get out of here.
That's it. I'm changing my name, but just the spelling, so it'll still sound the same, but technically be a different name,
Jermaine.
It's not really. If you're going to change your last name, then change it to, like, Murphy or something. So don't just be Jack's son.
Jack's son.
With a U. Why would they?
Wait, he did that?
Yes. I wasn't just doing a bit. He changed his last name legally to Jack's son, S-U-N.
Hmm.
Who did?
Jermaine.
Jermaine did?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought you were.
I thought it was a bit.
That explains why it got very quiet. It's not a funny bit.
Yeah, I'm like, there's good something bit, here. There's something here. He just needs to finesse it a little bit before he gets on the road with it.
I'm not taking that on the road, Tom. Stop telling people I'm doing song parodies.
Okay. How many people like the Jacksons?
Yeah. Did you know?
Do you
change their name? What's up with that?
Do you do a lot of rhetorical questions in your stand-up?
You know, it's funny that
people like music?
Yeah. I love don't you hate it when people answer rhetorical questions?
Shut up. I tried to do that once where I had a excellent.
I know, it wasn't that good of a joke. I don't do it anymore, all right?
I tried to do that. I tried to make that work on stage where I was like, this is a writer's room joke. And I was like, do I like this thing happening? No. Do I get very excited about it? Yes. Do I like to pose questions and then answer them myself out loud? Of course I do. Like, I tried to do that as the
third. Who doesn't? Don't answer that, sir.
Yeah.
But that was a question I asked for me.
Yeah.
Not for you.
I
don't like you answering my questions.
Kid stays in the picture. Did I care? Hell no.
No. Did I fuck her? You bet I did.
You bet I did.
Because you can also kind of do it without.
I had cantaloupe for breakfast. Did I fuck that cantaloupe? You bet I did.
Yeah.
Because you can do it without asking the question and still get the same lame-o segue juice out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, instead of going, who likes to go shopping? You can go, shopping's weird.
Shopping,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and then you just say it's weird.
Or you can just say,
the Jacksons. Yeah. Ooh, that family's weird. Right? What a weird family.
What else is going on?
I think
is in the news.
I think like my first year of comedy, I just to get in between topics, I think I said something like, segues are weird.
That I don't like the
you just batted that away.
No, I
said first year of comedy.
There wasn't Matt. I didn't shove it aside.
No, that was pregnant pauses.
I'm gonna say my thing.
Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
No.
who's noticed pregnant pauses? Anybody?
Anybody?
How about a miscarried pause? So I was walking down the
What about an awkward pause? Just a weird animal pause.
I don't even know what stand-up is like anymore.
Nah.
Is everybody filming you with flip phones and stuff?
It's weird.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's what my old-timery friends that are back on the road tell me is the biggest change. Like, I go, must be weird doing stand-up again. And they go, yeah, everybody's like holding stuff up and looking.
Back in the old days of comedy, at least you'd know when someone was setting up a 35-millimeter camera and getting a DP and then running a light meter in front of your face.
Well, you know, Bobcat and I were talking about this, where there's something to be said for this thing that I'm saying and this material that I'm doing and this bit that I'm doing that might just be, ad-libbed or might be half-assed, scripted or not quite ready or whatever, is just for the people in this room right now at this moment, at the third show on a Saturday, and there's 10 people in the room. I don't want it to be seen by anybody else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's not for watching on YouTube and sitting at your desk at home.
Yeah, exactly.
That I think would be the biggest weirdest thing about going back to stand up for me is that nothing stays in that room anymore. Like everything's out there.
Also, it's. I wonder if you'd be in a weird position where if you said anything that pissed them off, they'd be like, the guy who plays SpongeBob said this thing.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Well, yeah. And, because people ask me, clubs are always saying, hey, you should come in and do stand-up, And they'll tell me SpongeBob is big as if that's a revelation. As if I didn't know it.
I don't know if you're aware of it.
Is really popular.
What?
Yeah. And so we could pack this place. Yeah, but once people come in, there's sort of an onus on the performer not to suck. Hmm. So if I, it's like, okay, let's go see that guy, and he doesn't have anything, and he doesn't have an act, and all his jokes are from 25 years ago.
SpongeBob!
I love that.
Yeah.
I liked it even more when I pictured the Variety front page. Yeah. they'd report on a stand-up gig you did.
It's just SpongeBob looking sad. Yeah. Right. It's not even Tom's face.
Right. Or if there's some unfortunate picture of me in a tight shirt with my man teats going, Sponge boobs, on TMZ.
Sponge flop.
Actually, I had a TMZ moment at the airport the other day.
What? They said that they ask you?
They're asking me about Elma.
Oh. What are you supposed to say about
that? This is when it first happened. Yeah, exactly. It was terrifying. It's like, you're going, I can't make a joke, which is really what I want to do.
Yeah.
I can't, just because that's what us comedians do when we're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? You just crack a joke to dissipate the tension.
Yeah.
But I know I can't do that. Then it will be SpongeBob actor makes light of,
right,
underage sex, or whatever. There's a way that they get. I think they're just trying to see what they can make happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think maybe trying to gin up.
It's so hard.
SpongeBob versus Elmo. It's clash of the children's television titans.
Yeah,
they're trying to get some. Let's you and him fight.
You can't say it's really taking a lot of the heat off the two kids that I touch. Oh my God, what are you? No, yeah. I just am uncomfortable.
I had 5 minutes. I had 5 minutes in my head, and I think luckily because the SpongeBob band, Andy Paley, and all these people, we had just played. This is where I bring it all around. I still got my club skills.
Yes,
This is my big closer. No, where we had just played a SpongeBob Christmas concert, at the Mall of America in Minneapolis. And luckily, for some reason, every time that cart came around, they said, would you like a drink? Anybody like a drink? And of course, the band is like, yeah, I'll take one. Glug, 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 musicians. And I didn't, uncharacteristically. And man, I often go what if I had a couple of pops on that plane and my filter was not quite in such strong fettle. Such fine fettle. I would have, who knows?
Yeah.
But you're just like, I can't make a joke. I don't want to do anything that's going to mess up my gig. I don't want, Nickelodeon bigwigs going, what were you thinking, mouthing off to that guy?
You don't want to bum out kids. I mean, if there's one thing that our culture really loves, it is to be able to tear down a hero.
Oh, absolutely.
They revel in it.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a reason that when you Google Tom Kenny dead, Tom Kenny dead is the second thing that comes up.
What?
Try it.
Oh, by George, he's right. Tom, are you not here? You guys see him too, right?
Yeah. No, I've Twitter deathed. I've been Twitter deathed a couple of times. And it's kind of pervasive. I'm always running into people who are surprised to see me.
I got the dead hoax on Wikipedia. Someone said, your Wikipedia page says you died.
Yeah, that happened to me a few times. People kept on going in saying I died.
Just wishful thinking?
Yeah. It's probably my subconscious.
It was Jonah.
Probably black. I black out.
No, I'm sorry. It's just a cough button. It's not okay. It's going to cause a problem if you sneeze. Think of a grapefruit. Think of a grapefruit.
Think of
biting into
mayonnaise.
A grapefruit.
I'm allergic to grapefruits.
Oh,
it didn't work.
Sorry. The one thing.
The one thing.
Yeah, so that
I
was
tried.
That was the weirdest thing that's happened to me lately, where I just felt like so out of control and panicky. And
that's a fucked up thing to.
And you're sort of getting followed to your car.
But what are you supposed to say? Yeah. You're like, well, if it's true, it's horrible. What am I supposed to say?
Exactly.
Why are you asking me, Ovid? What do you think about murder? Murder's bad.
Have
what
you
do
ever
you think?
Met the man? No, I've never met Kevin Clash. Have you ever been in a similar situation? And of course, that's where that's where your mind turns into like a bulletin board with a bunch of recipe cards with jokes on it,
right.
pinned to the bulletin board. Yeah. And you go, no, don't! I can't do that. That'll blow up. This will have
every answer that you want to say. Have you ever met the man? No, I'm over 18. Damn it! I'm sorry. Can I take that back? Can you please erase that? I'll give you $100 if you erase that.
Basically, even though I've never had to deal with that before, and this was funny, like because people who are celebrities have to deal with that. You know, that's just a part of their lives, right? If you're, you know, Nicole Richie or something, you've had those people chasing you around. It doesn't matter if your kids are with you or not. They'll chase you and your kids through an airport, and they just want something to happen. But I've never had to deal with it before. So it was really – I really felt like a rabbit running away from, like, an owl.
Well, how did you respond? How did you respond?
I just realized, you know, luckily – being not a dumb guy and not having imbibed on the airplane, I realized that my one hope was to be as boring as possible.
Yeah.
Not be funny, not be interesting, not be amusing, not be controversial. And then it's just so nondescript that it gets 30 comments, and then there's a brawl at Halle Berry's house, and you don't have to worry about it. So, you know, that which is what happened.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm just going to be as non-committal and dull because I don't want to give anybody a story. Soundbite. You know,
yeah.
But I guess I was going, why did that make me so panicky? Like, why was I laying awake that night in bed, like, as if, like, adrenaline, like, almost like
I'll you tell
just,
you,
like,
I,
you just almost like
why.
Had a car, like a car accident.
I know why.
Tell me why, Dr.
Because,
Chris.
Because it's sort of weirdly invasive for someone to do that, and you have no control at all over how you're portrayed, how it's used. They could attach it to something that you didn't really say or mean or were referring to.
It could be manipulated in any way.
And then once that snowball gets out of your hands, there's nothing you can do about it.
And Chris, just to add to that thought,
it was also a case of like, I felt like, wow, I've constructed my life so that I can be on shows that are popular and shows that are hits, whatever, you know, SpongeBob, Adventure Time, whatever, and make a living being an actor guy and, you know, kind of, maybe, you know, be kind of ubiquitous in animation and stuff like that, but invisibly ubiquitous. Like, you know, my goal was always to be invisibly ubiquitous. And like, then I felt like that thing that is one of the aspects of my work life that I enjoy the most was compromised. Like there was a breach in the hull, you know what I mean? And water was pouring into my cool little submarine that I've managed to build for myself. Yeah. And it was really, it's still weird. I've never talked about this, by the way. This is really cathartic for me. So thanks
what a scoop.
And I'm laying on a couch right now.
No, it's important because it's you know, when you see, one thing that happens in the business that we work in is that it's very difficult to achieve any level of comfort. And once you have that comfort, it's very scary to think, oh, one weird misunderstanding that has nothing to do with me could just undo everything. Like you just start very fatalistically, you know, what ifing, and then you're like, fuck, what did I didn't think.
So true, Chris. That's right.
And, it could all go away and I didn't do it. It's not my fault.
You're right. And because, you know, what was happening, you know, over Thanksgiving weekend with that whole story they were asking me about at the airport. It was one of those things where your mind is sort of going in that direction anyway, just kind of doing that that wool gathering thing where you're going, wow, it's really easy for somebody's life to unravel, like something that they spent decades building.
And
it could be over something that's, like you said, a misunderstanding or not true.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because
it's still
the damage is already done.
Yeah. Let's say it's something that's entirely untrue. I mean, if it's something that is true, like, well, you sort of took a risk
when you did that thing that you knew you shouldn't do. But
yeah, let's, and probably in some level, on some level, we're getting off on that risk, and that's part of the.
Let us suppose,
and people want to be caught. That's
let us suppose though that it's a complete
and roll the dice.
That it's a complete misfire, a misunderstanding. Turns out to not be true. Was based on hearsay of someone who was on a blog who was just trying to get attention, and it's like
a Fatty Arbuckle thing, going back to a case from 100 years ago. Like, but you see how it kind of has always been that way.
Yeah.
Or like some other outlet reporting an Onion article as a thing that they are saying is true.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, and then it blows up, and then you know there's still. It's like, you know, if a bomb goes off in your car, even if you weren't in it, there's still devastation in its wake. Like the bomb has gone off,
right?
And there's still a little residue. Like,
it's weird. You know, you build this little this fun little bubble, and it's an irrational fear on my part because I'm so freaking boring. You know what I mean? It's like the weirdest thing about me isn't going to cause me that much trouble. What? He does laundry at 3 a.m.?
Well, what the fuck? What?
What? So
this interview's over.
I was sort of thinking along those terms anyway, like just conceptually, like wow, this is like everything's kind of built out of sugar anyway, you know, like all our careers.
Yeah.
And if a drop of water hits it, it can all collapse pretty quickly. And we all know guys that's happened to sometimes by their own hand,
I can tell you that, you know, if you just got flustered in a moment and something stupid came out of your mouth or they were able to spin something in a weird way, I feel like it would take more than that to undo everything. Like, it'd be pretty easy to be like, here's what happened. I did this, and then they
did
this.
You'd have to do your mea culpa and go out there, you know?
Or at least just like, you know, I like to think that in general, people are, they are somewhat reasonable. And if you can make a case and be like, here's what happened, blah, 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 then people are like, oh, okay, yeah, that's silly.
Right.
So I think maybe it might feel like it's, the structure is more sugar-based than it actually is because we're afraid. You know, you have two kids, you've had a great job for all these years, of course. You might, you know, think like, what if it all goes away?
Oh, yeah. And I totally have like that guy that grew up in the Depression mentality. But even though I was born in 62, I'm like a guy that grew up in like 1932. Where, you know what I mean? Like if I don't have a gig on a day, I feel like it's all over. It's all collapsing. Like,
yeah. Oh, man. This is it. This is the start.
Wait a minute. Oh, it'll feel good to clean out my garage. Wait a minute. Why do I have time to clean out my garage? Because I have no career.
It's all over.
Oh God. You know.
Well, I think the
start clipping coupons.
The upside to that is that it keeps you from making stupid decisions.
it makes you a little more aware. It keeps you valuing
and working harder
and enjoying the work. Like I'm sure you probably enjoy the process.
Oh yeah.
Of what you're doing, I like the process. I think it's fun.
Yeah, but you have to enjoy that or else nothing will ever be enough because nothing is ever going to make you go, well, there it is. I'm good.
I'm set.
I feel good. I finally found that thing that made me feel whole.
Yeah. It's fun to get up every day and, you know, make kooky voices on cartoons, and some of it's for preschool kids, and then some of it's
I think it's good to have a little fire under your toes, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a little like, I better...
In your belly or under your toes?
Oh.
Where would you rather have the fire? Taste the fire.
80-20 feet toes.
Okay. And then we smoke it out?
Feet toes, feet belly.
Smoke it out.
Smoking out the fire. But the SpongeBob Christmas album...
Yeah, did you get it?
No.
They told me they sent it to you.
I don't.
I heard it, but I didn't get it.
Oh, man. that was the last call I made. Hardwick got the album, right? Yes, we sent it all to him the first time.
I don't remember.
I have no stake in this.
It's not important. It doesn't matter.
Well, I feel like what we should do, though, is...
Hold on. Let's cut all this out.
Yeah.
Did you get the record?
I did not.
No.
Oh, but,
no, but, Chris.
Gosh.
All right, back to one. One more time. Take it over.
Did you get the record?
Okay,
Chris?
Now you're starting to, you know, okay, let's start that over because now you're starting to get in your head.
Okay, sorry.
One more time.
Sorry,
yeah.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah. He's a voice actor. You're going to have to voice direct him a little
bit. Yeah. I'll give you line readings. Did you get the record?
You know what? I'm going to put that a different way. You got the record, didn't you, Chris?
Wait, what were didn't we talking you? About? What were we? I don't know.
The SpongeBob record?
Jesus Christ.
There's not even really a record. You know, I call it a record, but it's a digital album.
A digital? You
know? I know. They don't make the hard discs anymore. It's just on like Amazon the CDs? And iTunes and boing, boing.
Well, maybe that's where the confusion was. They just like tried to peel the MP3 off the computer and put it in an envelope. I did get this weird empty envelope.
And I'm like, wait.
It had pictures of CDs with musical notes on them.
No,
it
was like incarnation is a sound cloud. I do, what?
Yeah, sound it's just like, one of those musical cards where you open it up and it just starts playing the record and you close it, open it back up. Yeah,
like those birthday cards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We should. Do you want us to put one of the songs at the end of the podcast so people have a sample?
That's up to you. I'm not going to dictate the content of your podcast. You've had a lot of success with this podcast. I think a lot of your success has been due to the fact that Andy Paley and I and Fred Willard did one of your earlier ones.
There's no question.
I think that was the basis, the foundation.
No question.
All success that you've had since.
Fred was in the news. I thought he handled it pretty well.
I did too.
I thought it was funny.
A lot of stuff going on in the news. Like he just hit it head on.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like, you know, when on the MTV Movie Awards after the Pee Wee, you know, Paul Rubens thing.
Heard any good jokes?
Yeah. Heard any good jokes lately?
Yeah.
What was Fred's ultimate? I feel like that all just went away.
He went to go jerk off. Because he's an old man, and that's how he's used to doing it.
It's such a yeah.
Are you sure that's what happened? That actually is what happened. Do we know this for a fact, or was it a misunderstanding?
Well, he didn't deny it, and he made jokes about him actually doing it.
I think the whole story was a non-starter from the get-go. Yeah. You know, I think the you know most people's the thing that raised eyebrows was like, oh wow, there's still porn theaters in Hollywood. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that was the thing that shocked people. What? Wow, where? That's quaint.
Did you hear about Crow? Where? I mean, where?
That's cool. I mean, I knew the farmer's market was still there, but I didn't know there was still a farm. I knew we still had a farmer's market, but a porn theater? Wow.
No, don't you remember the big headlines? Fred Wood tonight. That's how bad the... it was a purposely bad...
Yes. No, I liked it.
Because...
Yeah, I thought that Fred was handled with much aplomb by
I love Fred Willard so
Me
much.
Too.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he was
Can I tell you that me. I'll tell you why that story was weirdly comforting to me was to be that age and know that you can still do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just worry like
to like drive yourself to a porn theater?
Drive yourself to a porn theater. Several aspects of that story are comforting to me.
To be in your 70s and lucid enough to find it, pay the money yourself. Why? To have like the brain capacity to lie to your wife.
Lucid, not flaccid. I like it.
We're here with children's entertainer Tom Kenny.
God damn it.
We can cut it out. I'm sorry.
See, this is what happens. I'm not a children's entertainer.
I know you're not.
I am not a children's
entertainer.
You're a
comedian.
See, you get sucked into these things where it's like, because you're on a show for kids, and then you're on a bunch of stuff that's not for kids. Yeah. But they still go, nice subject matter for a children's entertainer to be trafficking. But I get seduced by sitting here and going, these guys, hey, we're talking about everything. Some of it is scatological. Hey, I'm one of the boys. I'll dive in. Nice for a children's entertainer, Tom.
I'm sorry.
And then I start having the TMZ panic dreams. Then I'm going over the transcription. Then I'm going over the transcription in my head going, did I say anything that will, like, you know, ruin my career?
No. Tom, this is Tad Nickelodeon. I own Nickelodeon.
This is Tad.
And I was just very disturbed by your flaccid, not lucid comments. As a children's entertainer, I'm afraid we're going to have to give SpongeBob to DiMaggio.
I think it was lucid, not flaccid. But
lucid. Like they would give
you just inverted the whole joke.
A fucking comedian, actually, what I said.
Actually, what was, if you know John DiMaggio, the fact that they think that you would be too offensive, so they replace you with Don DiMaggio. It was actually really funny now that I think.
Call the rustic in. Get DiMaggio over here.
He's spicy. I really venture out of the confines of PG-13 in terms of my wisecracks.
I'm so sorry. I feel really
Whoa! Children's entertainer Tom Kenny!
Now that's a good Rob Paulson.
Make it with the triple X!
That is a good Rob Paulson impersonation. I don't know if you even realize it, but that was an excellent Rob Paulson impersonation. I've never heard someone do Rob, but that was a fucking spot on.
We are not going to stop until we name check every voice actor in Hollywood.
Okay, do Jeff Bennett.
See, now, this is what scares me. The SpongeBob band did a concert at the Children's Hospital here in L.A.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Children's Entertainer.
Children's Hospital Entertainer.
He's going to walk out, Chris.
And then the next day, I've got this weird cough. You know what I mean? And you're in a hospital. And and I'm not like a hypochondriac or anything, but you're going, there must be a connection.
Yeah. If I was in a hospital. There is like a cough thing going around.
Yeah.
There's always something going around. I was talking to my mom. I wasn't feeling well last week. And my mom's like, well, there's something going around. I was like, Mom, you're in Hawaii. There's not the same thing going around. There's not a thing going around that you've heard about in
over.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Maybe it's going around the mainland.
Yes. There's something going around. No. No, there's not.
Your mom's in Hawaii?
I'm from Hawaii. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, why don't you talk about Hawaii some more?
You're swarthy skin.
Yes. And I'm quite
you
exotic.
You look like you grew up on a surfboard.
My shoulders are really broad.
Well, the surfboard was on land and he was lying on it.
Yeah.
I was using it as playing air drums. Now
I was using it to cover myself from the sun.
Exactly.
Can't keep this pearly white skin.
He was using it like a turtle shell.
I am the guy who went to Hawaii and always had long sleeves and a hood on. Just totally not enjoying the experience.
I think it's all like
people aren't meant to be outdoors.
Yeah, not people that look like me, not translucent people.
Yeah. I remember one time Blaine came to work in like long sleeves and a hood, and he was wearing like a hat and glasses. And I was like, "What do you do?" He's like, "Just got back from the beach."
You're not going back to Hawaii.
No. My parents live in an apartment now, and to go home for the holidays would mean to crash on my parents' couch. And that's not fun. That's not a good holiday thing to do.
I was going to actually go to Kauai for the holidays.
It's where BJ Porter and Corinne are right now.
You know, but there were no, I waited too long. There were no rooms available. The only rooms that were available were like at the Hyatt or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couch available.
Yeah, you want to crash with my parents?
I kind of do.
Go for it.
Do you think they'll mind if I bring Chloe?
No. Okay. They expected me and Deanna to sleep on the couch.
I'll be there, Jonah.
Yeah, you can do it.
But rooms, like the only rooms I could find at the Hyatt were like $1,500 a night. Now, I don't mind spending a little bit of money when I go on vacation.
You can write that off.
I didn't know if I wanted to spend
research
$20,000 flying to Hawaii and staying there for, you know, like 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, it's boring in Kauai anyway.
I love Kauai.
Yeah.
I've been there once. But I liked it.
Yeah.
Jonah, you don't understand. The road is, it's horseshoe shaped because they couldn't make a circle around the island.
That's most of the islands.
There is equipment that they tried to build the road and they just let it sink into the mud. They didn't even, they just left it
even
there.
Even in Oahu, it doesn't connect all the way around.
Well, I'm talking about Kauai.
Apples and oranges, Chris.
I get it. You're from Oahu.
Pineapples, pineapples and bananas.
Pineapples and poi here, guys.
Yeah, and Bobo.
Spam.
Bonobo.
Bobo? Bonobo.
There's a bananas, apes.
Bobo Bonobo that's when the chimps reenacted that Academy Awards that David Letterman hosted. Wow, this is really going deep.
Uma Oprah.
Bobo Bonobo.
Mm.
That's when they hosted the Chimp Academy Awards. Now I'm going to need a food.
You and your wife had a very funny cameo in one of my favorite Kurt Russell movies, Sky High.
Kurt Russell's in that movie?
Yeah.
Wow. I never saw it.
It's great.
Clearly.
It's a great movie.
It's a funny cool. movie.
It's Dave Foley's in it. Kevin McDonald's in it.
People do see that. Like, I think that's one of those ones that's like, I think it's like the new Beastmaster where it's just like on cable like all the time for years.
Poor Mark Singer is somewhere furious.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in a couple of those movies over the years where it's like not a giant hit, but it seems to always be on.
Yep.
And so it's amazing. Like, kids recognize me and Jill from that. Like,
oh, really?
Walking around, or Jill and I should say. Yeah. They see us walking around, they go, wow, you're the couple in Sky High that the house fell on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny moment.
I love that you worked on a movie.
It's a great movie.
I love that you worked on a movie and didn't ask who else was in it.
Yeah,
Kurt
Russell, Wonder Woman, Bruce Campbell's in it. It's a you got Dave Foley, Kevin McDonald, one of the guys from The Broken Lizard.
I believe in the script. I was my part was scared man. That's true. That was scared couple. I think it was scared couple.
Yeah.
They have a good chemistry together. They could get, they really believe it was good.
She and I, when you're married, you're used to just holding hands and being terrified of things.
Is it,
we're going to have a baby? Ah! We just bought a house? Ah!
I just got checked out by TMZ. Ah! Yeah. What, now, for the Christmas album, is it helpful for you if this goes up before Christmas?
Is this going to be on the air?
It could, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't want to be pushy, but I guess when the product is a Christmas album, it's best to play it before Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I'd say we put it up immediately.
We will. We'll
see, if I was smart, we would have made a post-Christmas album.
It's all about cleaning up.
It's all about the other 364 days a year that aren't Christmas.
Then it can go up.
I like that most of the songs are just about trying to get like the pine needles from the tree all the trash.
All the other holidays.
Break
it's
down
Secretary's
the box.
Secretary's Day again. It's Secretary's Day again.
We call them assistants. We call them assistants.
Executive assistants. They make your copies. And your coffee.
Now, you joke about that, but that is totally a song SpongeBob would sing.
That's true. It's also the kind of thing that me and Paley would argue about for hours. You can't rhyme coffee and copies. It's not really a rhyme. It's lazy.
Which side do you fall on?
Him and I are both insane, like when we write these songs.
Now, that is totally what would happen, is that everyone would be excited about Christmas and SpongeBob would be excited about like Executive Assistant Day.
Yeah.
And he would wanting to celebrate Executive Assistant.
I love it. I'm pitching that for season 11.
Please.
Boxing Day,
Arbor Day.
Yeah.
No, it's fun to write these because you know, you're trying to write something that might in some weird way become kind of a standard evergreen song to kids that are, you know, super into watching SpongeBob right now.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, this something on this album will be like one of those weird songs that sticks in your head, like some weird kids album or whatever.
Like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
From
when I grew up. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or Muhammad Ali versus Mr. Tooth Decay.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is
clearly
one of the great kids albums of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or,
and, or any of those Animaniacs. Like,
Oh, Vince Guaraldi. How hip is Vince Guaraldi? I mean, come on.
That song depresses the shit out of me, though. It's supposed to.
It's Charlie Brown. He's depressed at Christmas.
But it's just like, it's like a Christmas song in a minor key.
Isn't that great?
I was.
I love it, but it makes me sad whenever I hear it.
It's a very sad song. I remember one time I got a gift certificate to, like a Levi's store, and I went to go. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get some new pants, and I picked out all the pants I thought were my size. And I was in the dressing room trying to put on these pants that weren't fitting because I'd gained so much weight. That song started to play, and it was just like Christmas time. No, these aren't working.
Fat ass time is here. Ooh, muffin tops.
But it's like they're so.
And you know, right when it starts going up.
But they're so just resigned about it.
Yeah,
their tone, like they're just so resigned about like it. Like they, it could just start with fucking Christmas time is here.
Yeah, there's actually in the original version, there's a big sigh before the song starts.
What I love about that, though, is that there is, especially as you get older, like when you're an adult, and sadness becomes kind of a part of everything. Like even happy things are contrasted against, wow, I should really value this because I know there's sadness coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's somewhere there's like tires are squealing, figuratively speaking, and there's something that's going to smash into us and derail us. That's what life is, you know? And I don't know what it is yet, but it's out there somewhere. And so, you know, that's what I love about that special is that, you know, I mean, as you get older, you go, wow, you know, Christmas is cool and it's fun and kids are happy and it's good to see them. I wish Dad was alive, though. You know, there is kind of like a lot of that yin and yang that just becomes more and more part of your life. And I think that Vince Guaraldi music for that special is so evocative of that. You know, it's kind of happy and sweet, and it's very beautiful. But it's very ephemeral and beautiful, but it's also a little sad.
But I feel like what makes that so good coupled with Peanuts was that a lot of the early Charles Schulz stuff totally had that. And the characters, were really, you know, when they were dealing with mental issues and, you know, like issues where...
he was working his own stuff out.
Like, yeah. I think there was one where it was just like a few panels of Linus. I think maybe it was Linus. And there was, he wasn't saying anything. And then the last line of it was, I just became aware of my tongue. Like, just this very bizarre, like... Oh my God, that's a weird psychological almost anxiety evoking. And so I feel like that the music paired with that sort of early, you know what it was? It's like, it was early existentialism that I think was then the baton was handed off after he, you know, maybe stopped doing so much of them or maybe got older and a little more kid friendly. And then,
Charles Schulz.
And then passed on to Bill Watterson, where you saw a lot of that existentialism pass on to Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, especially when you're writing music for like a really specific thing, like a holiday, you know, you want songs that make sense with the character, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlie Brown really is about that kind of angsty existential sadness of like looking... You know, looking for the beauty.
What do you think would have happened to Charlie Brown as an adult?
Oh, I think, you know, fistful of pills washed down with Chardonnay and then his neighbors smell something weird in his apartment. That's what I think. Right?
Chuck.
Still leaning on the brick wall. I just can't take it anymore.
Life, his whole life is a football that's being taken away from him right before he tries to kick it. Lost another raise today.
Life isn't for everyone, Charlie Brown. And that's what suicide is all about.
Lucy's his boss. She just calls him in like, hey, here's your Christmas bonus. Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not getting a bonus. Yeah. Like still pulling it away from him before he can connect.
You're fired. 5 cents, please. But luckily, SpongeBob is all about, you know, innocence and finding the joy in the mundane.
I hope
like
that's,
you were saying.
I hope so, that's true.
So those songs are fun to write.
Like the idea of being adults and, you know, as children, you're basically racing to excitement and things that you're excited about. And then so much of, I think, disappointment is basically excitement without an outlet. It's like excitement that's been squashed or excitement that has no way to be expressed, which that happens enough. And then all of a sudden you kind of become a sad adult. And then it seems like your adulthood is you're not actively chasing excitement as much as you are running away from sadness in a weird sort of way.
Maybe if you have kids, maybe living vicariously through their
excitement.
Newfound excitement.
Right.
And you know,
world
of possibilities.
It's one of the reasons why I think I was so adamant about, you know, I only want to work on stuff I care about because I just want to be excited about the things that I'm doing so that I don't become the, why didn't I, blah, 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 guy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I think when you're the creator of stuff and you're the founder of the feast or whatever, then it has to be something you care about. When you're, you know, doing voiceover or you're, you know, which is in effect being a session musician, I don't know that you really have to unequivocally love everything, every project that you're doing because you're just having fun in the process and just having fun playing your drums.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going, you know, I don't know that this is necessarily a record that I would buy, but it's fun to play drums on it.
Right.
And, you know, it's, and then some stuff is stuff where you go, I really feel like I'm bringing a lot to this party, you know, I'm excited about this. But even when you're not, the final product is maybe a little bit lost on you, you feel jazzed about doing the best job you can within the confines of that job. It's very workmanlike.
Yeah.
You know, very, you know, very, you know, just show up with your tools and try to build a shelf that will hold up pretty good.
Until one day.
Until one day.
Trying to hang some on that shelf. And
7.2 Richter quake.
Richter quake.
Andy.
Yeah, that's when they have a dance party.
Oh.
Richter quake. No, because of his name, not because he's. You thought that was that he was because of.
You. No, you did, and then you said the joke.
Nope. It's not the case at all.
Children's performer Chris Hardwick.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, the children's
former Conan guest.
The children's thing was getting back at you for saying I was going to do chimp songs on the road. Chimp, chimp parody songs on the road.
I think you should. People would enjoy it. Mm. Now they're going to show up expecting it. They're going to be
chimp,
disappointed.
I need some monkeys, chimp. Oh. Not just any monkeys, chimp. Chimp.
Oh, man.
Yep. Well, I think we've exhausted everything.
I think so. That was a good one. This was a nice session, guys.
Good
was
session.
It? Yeah.
Was it really?
Yes.
You never know what's good on a podcast or what's not.
Oh,
know?
This was fucking great, Tom.
It was? Okay.
Mm. Absolutely.
You wouldn't BS me, would you?
No.
I guess the people, if people start commenting viciously, then we'll know that.
Oh, they always do that.
They do anyway?
Sure, they do.
Oh, man.
Not all of them, just a couple people. Couple unhappy people.
Oh, yeah.
If you get mad at a podcast, things aren't going great in your life.
The malcontents.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah.
How dare you not be exactly the experience I need? I'm sorry. I'm just running away from sadness.
Yeah. It's best to focus on those people, though.
Aren't we all? Mm-hmm. I like that the conversation took a bit of a melancholic turn.
It was Vince Guaraldi that
it was Vince Guaraldi did it, yeah.
I just started singing the Christmas science, Christmas time song in my head. And it's like, oh, I just feel this.
Yeah.
This wave of sad, like, oh.
And even the, you know, whatever, the standard they do at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a Gregorian chant sadness to it. Like
yes.
Those 6-year-old monks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the most unhappy kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at them. They're all ugly. All of them. Not a looker in the bunch. What I'd be sad too. It's not funny if you guys don't join in or just move on from the thing. Don't just sit on the thing I said and wait for me to find a way out.
I feel like I left Jonah hanging there.
Yeah, fucking everyone did. At least this guy laughed.
But it wasn't on purpose. I just felt like I just felt like I didn't have anything constructive or funny to say.
Jonah, yeah. In the words of Jefferson Starship, find your way back. Find your way back. Hey
guys, I have nothing to grab onto here. I went too weird.
Find your way back.
Guys.
Oh, man.
And Jonah disappeared.
Yeah.
Going out to all you Marty Balin fans.
Marty Balin. He had a hit song. He had one hit song.
Yeah, man.
Hearts can break, never stay together, love can fade away. What happened to Jonah was we just saw a trapeze accident. that's basically what
he
we
really
just
went
saw.
For that thing with all confidence that it would work.
And
it did not.
I just didn't feel like reaching for his hands. I just wanted to kind of swing up and then just see what would happen. Turns out people can't fly. They just fall like everything else.
I'm never going to play volleyball with either of you motherfuckers. Spike the ball. Spike the ball.
Oh, there it goes. What's the name of the SpongeBob with the album?
Well, the special, which is airing, right up until Christmas on Nickelodeon, is called It's a SpongeBob Christmas Special.
Yerp.
And the album is called It's a SpongeBob Christmas Album.
Excellent.
It's on iTunes and Amazon.
Hey, how'd they come up with that name, Tom?
I think they already had the art, you know, for the special.
Sure,
they
sure.
Just, you know, slapped it onto the... But it's really good. You'll like it. We got Jonathan Richman playing on there. And,
oh, wow.
You know, all kinds of people. He Jonathan Richman plays some crazy-ass guitar on it. Like Patrick the Starfish is such a... Patrick Star. He's a sea star. He's not a starfish.
Mm-hmm.
Is such a primal character. Like when you write songs for him, it's always about, he's just pure id. So, you know, he just likes staring at the packages and, you know, ripping them open and seeing what's inside kind of wrecks it. So it's just, you know, you don't open your Christmas presents. Like, you know what I mean? Like the perfect moment is when you're looking at it before you know what's inside.
Yeah.
And then it kind of messes it up because you're running a risk of disappointment once you look at it and go, oh, I thought it'd be something better. So just that world of possibility of just looking at a wrapped gift is what he likes. So it's all about not – he sings a song called Pretty Ribbons and Bows that's not about – that's about not unwrapping your gifts or ever opening them because
– That's awesome.
That'll make
that's
it great. Suck. So Jonathan Richman plays like a crazy like garage guitar
Bill Fackerbacky
that you haven't heard him do since like the Modern Lovers.
Yeah.
You know, because he's kind of like an acoustical.
He's like, yeah, he's pretty much
it's,
been.
It's Fackerbacky, right? Am I saying it right? Fackerbacky?
Bill Fackerbacky is Patrick Starr. Very yes. good. And yeah, he sings great. He sings great. We got a song for Sandy. We got like a, you know, she's from Texas, the character. So we got like full on Western swing. Bob, you know, because I'm a Western swing obsessive.
Yeah.
So, wow, let's write a song that sounds like a Bob Wills song from like 1938. Those guys are all jazz bows.
Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys.
Yeah.
Fucking great. If you haven't heard Bob Wills,
they're all jazz guys. You know, they're all like jazz guys wearing cowboy hats.
And that's when the lyrics weren't. It's like the, you know, like my favorite Bob Wills song is called You Just Take Her.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking great song because there's no, that's where they're just like, there's a lot of call and response and there's no real lyrics. It's just like, you just take her because I don't want to. That's the name of the tune.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Western swing version of like Surfing Bird.
Yes.
Or something like that where it doesn't really.
Saw some honky tonk in Nashville.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking awesome. Just like random bar on Broadway in Nashville. Just walk in. Some of the best live music I've ever, like, just, you know, those guys do that every night, maybe every week or whatever, and it's just tight, and it fucking sounds so good.
Yeah, it still happens. It's funny. I go to live shows with my kid, you know, my 15-year-old, and you'll go to see some band, and you go, wow, these kids really don't know how to act at a live show. Like, they're afraid to go crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, when I was going to shows, it was all about jumping up and down and being safe. And then when you were playing in bands, of course, it was all about, you know, jumping up on the bar and walking around and... You know, swinging from the plumbing pipes.
Take it easy, Cobain.
Try to make something fun happen. And now I see, you know what I mean? Now I don't know. I go to these shows and I don't want to criticize because you don't want to be the buzzkill dad, you know, because your kid wants to turn you onto this thing. And I'm just going, wow, why do these 23-year-old kids have Civil War beards? And why do they not seem to be having any fun?
Why are they
not jumping around?
I went to see a band that I thought.
Oh, make it quick. We have 40 seconds.
They're good.
Good story.
Can you tell? Now you got 30. No pressure.
I thought they were going to be a lot better, but then when I saw them, they just stood there straight. This band called Yuck. Okay. Great songs, poppy songs. I thought they were going to be jumping all over the place. They didn't do shit, and it made me not like the record.
29.
As much.
But that was it. You made it.
It wasn't a story. It was an anecdote. It was just kind of a thing to say. And you guys fucked me again.
Bye, Jonah. Oh, I forgot to tell you. There's no net.
Everyone have a happy
holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody.
What happened?
I've got that hospital cough.
SpongeBob choked. Great burrito.
I love this button.
Oh, I was wrong. Awesome. We actually have a minute left.
So there I was, in the venue, walking in. The doors open up. Are you kidding?
Tom's choking on the monotony of your story.
I turned just the fucking thing into the biggest story.
The biggest story of 2012.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for letting me sit in for so long.
Yeah, of course.
I thought I was going to do a segment, and then I'd leave, and there'd be like four other guys.
The
come
show
in.
Is oh, a really? Segment, my friend.
The entire thing.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing that.
Well, now let's go to traffic with the Ice King.
Are you gonna tweet about the record?
Sure.
Andy Paley said, have Hardwick put it on his Twitter feed. He's got a lot of followers.
If even 10% of those followers buy the album. It doesn't. But they don't.
That's what Andy said. He told me to request that of you.
All right. Ye shall be tweeted, and the show shall end in 4, 3.
Ahoy, everybody. SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's the thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. Don't
you wreck the house, when you deck the halls. Spit your gum where it won't wind up on my shoe. Squeeze toothpaste from the bottom of the tube. Don't be a jerk. Toilet seat up. It's the time for family and holly and turkey. Tis the season to be jolly, not jerky.
Jolly, not jerky.
Don't dig in the cereal box, for goodness sakes. Take the prize and leave me nothing but flakes. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas. Santa brought nearly every gift on your list. Why whine about that he missed? Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.